Chapter 17. The Mystery of the Holy Grail. We have explained that as soon as the seven rays, which emanate from the immovable kingdom, enter the primordial nature, motion is caused in the latter. This motion is cooperative movement. The primordial nature then demonstrates, by what proceeds from it, what lies enclosed in the deity. In the course of its development, a Gnostic living body will at a given moment surround itself with a new astral field which originates directly from the primordial nature, from Mother Isis. It then spreads throughout that part of the world where the Gnostic body is active. When such a new Gnostic realm has been formed and the required foci have been established, a new movement will develop in the living body, which will increase by the hour, as a result of the breaking of the seven seals, the seven seals of the process of true life, of the development of the true man, are broken, and the seven rays of the deity are revealed in a direct way. The Gnosis as mediator recedes before the fullness of the Holy Spirit. As you can read in the Gospel of John, Christ says to his disciples, "It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. And when the Comforter comes, whom I will send you from the Father, namely, the Spirit of truth which proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me." So it will be clear that when the Gnosis as intermediary recedes before the fullness of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, an entirely new state will come into being. A new attitude to life and a new necessity of life will emerge with compelling power for all those who are involved in the process. Matthew 24, which we advise you to read, describes this state of affairs as we are now experiencing it. In this connection, the author of the Gospel of Matthew says that this generation will by no means pass before all these things have happened. This statement has often been ridiculed, and people have said scornfully, "Alas, how many generations have passed since the beginning of our era without all this having happened?" However, the events announced in Matthew 24 have to do with the course of development of the Gnosis. Just as it was necessary in those days for the Gnosis to undergo the things described, so we in our times are also confronted with the same developments. The Bible also speaks of the breaking of the seven seals in a negative sense as regards the world and mankind. This is elucidated in the book of Revelations, and we will not go into it here. Instead, we would like to discuss another question that might arise in this connection. What should we understand by the fact that the seven seals are closed? Our answer is that this concerns a state of temporary neutralization of the absoluteness of the seven spirit in certain regions of the primordial nature. In Europe, the direct influences of the seven spirit have hardly been noticed during the last 700 years because such a neutralization took place in that part of the world. Now, however, the radiations of the seven spirit and their effects on the world are regaining their intensity, and as regards the young Gnosis, the scope and activity of the seven spirit are increasing by the hour, for you will understand that at a given moment in any Gnostic development, the neutralization will cease completely, and this is what has now happened to the young Gnosis. This process is exemplified in the Christ drama. Christ came and chose his disciples, or in our terminology, he established his group. He led the way to the path of the rose and cross, and made this path and its requirements known to the group. The group became a community, a living body, an ecclesia. At that moment, Jesus the Lord withdrew as mediator. "It is to your advantage that I go away," he said, "because the Comforter will come after me." Then Jesus preceded the group to the new life field. The withdrawal of Jesus the Lord as mediator is in a certain sense only apparent. The Gnosis leads the group to the new life field, and there they will meet again, As soon as the gnosis as mediator, as radiation factor, has withdrawn, the seven spirit radiates in its fullness. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit follows immediately. To say that the group of the young gnosis in line with the rest of the universal Gnostic chain will stand before the same experience is neither far-fetched nor spectacular. We are following all those who walked the path before us. We too are standing before the gates of a totally new state of life in which a new mystery lies enclosed, the mystery of the development of a new, higher consciousness, the mystery of deification. So, as we said before, it is a matter of the utmost logic that after having received some preliminary knowledge regarding the essence of the All, we say to each other, let us understand what the Seven Spirit requires of us, so that we too may prepare ourselves in the upper room. As explained earlier, the seven rays grant us absolute life, absolute love, absolute intelligence, absolute harmony, absolute wisdom, absolute devotion, and absolute liberating action. As these seven rays influence one another, it is obvious that there are seven times seven or 49 aspects or rays with which every candidate in the new mystery will have to comply. All who enter the head temple of the School of the Rosy Cross in Harlem will discover this inescapable idea expressed above the place of service by the five-pointed Star of Bethlehem, symbol of the reborn soul, surrounded by the seven times seven rays that emanate from the immovable kingdom and urge one onto divinity. That is why, following the breaking of the seven seals, the temple of the Rosy Cross, which formerly existed in Harlem, has now made way for the temple of the Holy Spirit, the sanctuary of the Brotherhood of the Holy Grail. We would now like to discuss the 49 aspects of the Holy Grail, especially as regards what is expected of you as a living cell in the Gnostic body. Above all, the candidate is expected to have a great and sober honesty. He must be ready to undergo that most important of all deaths, the death of the I, the Endurer. Among other things, this will enable him to avoid the danger of burning mentioned earlier. Everyone who does away with the main resistance in the self will immediately be renewed according to the soul. Everyone who is renewed as to his soul will at once become receptive to the language of the Holy Spirit. This will tell you that you have to accept its guidance with great honesty. Even if you cannot yet fully understand the entire fullness of the Spirit, simplicity, honesty, and purity of intention will never fail you. On the basis of soul rebirth, you will be able to grow in sanctification with the openness and unself-consciousness of a child. With your renewed soul and in the purity of your childship, you will eventually come to stand before the throne of the Holy Seven Light, and you will kneel before the first ray, the ray of absolute life. What is absolute life? It is the life of the original man, the life of the true soul, mankind. Absolute life is something great, something magnificent, something
immeasurable. It is your all-encompassing vocation. You have been born in an emergency order body in the nature of death, so that as a result of a path of experience of opposites, your consciousness may awaken to the absolute. Only in this way can you manifest God's glory.
That is why there needs to be a mighty yearning in you, an overpowering urge towards true life, to which everything you have and know is subordinate. All will be well if you approach the first ray of the seven spirit with this powerful longing to reach the absolute life. A positive irradiation by the Holy Spirit will immediately follow, and you will in principle be linked with the fire of Pentecost, with the all-embracing good. You will learn to address this good, the seven spirit, in whom and through whom your salvation must manifest itself as Father. Creating is the characteristic of the Father, said Hermes. Therefore, In the life of those whose consciousness is correctly directed, to give birth to the Son is a matter of great seriousness and zeal and of deepest attachment to God. While it is the greatest misfortune and the greatest sin for someone to die without the childship of God and to be punished by the demons after death, this is the punishment. The soul of this childless one will be condemned to assume a body that is neither male nor female, which is a doom emanating from the Son. Thus, Asclepius participate in joy if no one is without childship, but embrace with your compassion the one who stands in an unhappiness because you know what punishment awaits him. Here the Egyptian archgnosis points out with absolute clarity the aim of life, your destiny, as willed by God, to give birth to the Son, the inner Christ, the true, immortal man within you. If this calling is ignored, denied, or rejected, if you keep on following the path of blind self-will, the doom emanating from the spiritual Son will inevitably be attracted. Its sevenfold radiation power will have a negative effect and will make you, now and in the future, insensitive and sterile in head and heart as regards both the masculine, creative aspects and the feminine, revealing aspects of its work of salvation. Then you will have to follow to the end the path through the darkness, the endlessly long path of suffering and sorrow, which you yourself have chosen. However, if, in a mighty yearning for salvation, you approach the absolute life, you will discover that you have been blessed to such an extent by the first ray of the Seven Spirit that a consciousness, an experience of childship, is generated within you. It will connect you directly and positively with the beginning activity of the six other rays of the Holy Spirit. The six flames will break through. In the absolute life, love is to be found. All who enter through the gates of the first ray will learn for the first time what love really is. Love includes true understanding of the natural soul in its as yet unreborn state, an understanding of man's struggle and of his mistakes, committed in ignorance. Out of this love, such a one will have patience, if necessary, endless patience. For you know, at least in theory, and you should read about it again, in 1 Corinthians 1:3, that love has the ability to wait. Love bears all things. Can you now understand that anyone who is able to receive the Seven Spirit in a positive way and thus becomes a son of the fullness will also be intelligent? Do you now see that where true understanding, true love, and endless patience are present, there the way must be also the way and the knowledge of how life and love must be fulfilled in their absolute sense? Do you now realize how obvious, how necessary it is that the seven rays influence one another? Has all that we have said not made clear that absolute harmony and a profound inner tranquility must predominate in such a way of life? Will such a person not see the portals of wisdom opened wide before him? Will devotion to all that is created not become quite natural to him? And do all these things together not testify most profoundly of a way of life of liberating action? The new mystery has opened for you. It is as a golden head above which burns the fire of Pentecost. What is preventing you from entering? Go in then, and enter into the peace of your Lord.